Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your hosts, Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
The best guests, the best insight.
Lofton with his team down by two, to the corner, Caputo! No good! And it's over! St. Louis is going dancing!
All backed by over 40 combined years of covering the biggest events in St. Louis sports.
Blues have the puck, Thomas off the wall, shoots, and it's in! They score! It's the St. Louisan, Pat Maroon! Bring out the Zamboni! Pat Maroon just put the city on his shoulders, and he sends them to the conference finals!
Now, here are Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan KFNS and 590thefan.com.
Welcome, Hollywood Casino Press Box, all new 590 The Fan, Frank Cusimano, Martin Kilcoyne, beautiful Wednesday in St. Louis, great guest list, Derek Chivas, the all-time leading scorer at Mizzou, in studio at 10:30, Matthew Leach, one of the best in the business from MLB.com at 11:20, end of the day at 11:50. Martin, good to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing great. The Cardinals are playing so poorly, Jim Hayes just told me they refuse to broadcast today's game. It will not be seen on Fox Sports Midwest. They packed up and went home.
This would be kind of tough even for Fox Sports Midwest to put kind of a happy talk, you know, positive slant on.
Don't you think?
This is the best thing ever for them.
Dan and Brad, everybody involved today is saying, this is a good one to sit out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of days, especially on the weekend when sports happened, and you just wish you were on the radio at that moment or you could react to a Mizzou game. You're just dying to get in front of the mic. If I'm Fox Sports Midwest, I'm looking at the schedule today and saying, oh, you can have it. This is a day not to really. There's nothing in the pregame that you can possibly say.
I will say this.
Good to be on YouTube.
Dan, more than any other play-by-play hometown broadcaster, is candid. And, you know, and in fact, I think some of his analysts maybe go overboard, which is understandable. You got to be loyal to the people that are, you know, you tuck in at night. But I think Dan is about as candid as a local play-by-play broadcaster could be. Would you agree?
Well, I think what he does, and yes, and I can also tell you, years ago when he was younger, he was a lot more critical, and that just doesn't fly. You're not allowed to do that working for the Cardinals, whereas the Yes Network and the Yankees have said for years they want the team to be ripped because their fan base sort of demands that. But I think what Dan does now, fairly consistently, is he brings up like a relevant topic. He'll say, why wouldn't you hit here for this guy? Or you got to be thinking at this point he's ready to come out. Like, he'll bring up a topic like, maybe this is the time to make a move. Maybe this is the time to get this pitcher out. And I think he does that in a polite fashion. But it's a tough spot to be in because the Cardinals don't want you to be critical. I wish they would sort of open it up and say, listen, nobody's going to get in trouble here.
And you know how they do that? They have Andy Van Slyke on in between innings.
Wouldn't that be outstanding?
After the first, we got the analysis of the analyst and the play-by-play broadcaster. Now let's go to Andy Van Slyke in his living room.
Right. Like watching the game. He's not in the studio. Just a little like bubble in the corner of the screen. But I think, what Dan always does is say, I don't know why you're going to push a guy here when you got a fresh bullpen. He'll bring up what's a fair and relevant topic.
All right. Our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Worldwide Technology Raceway, site of the Bomarito 500 coming August 24th. Let's begin with lap one. So the answer to the question, what do the Cardinals need more, starting pitching or hitting, is both. We talked about the starting pitching, especially at the trade deadline. Bottom line is, they've just gone to Oakland and Los Angeles. Four games. They've hit 171. They're averaging 1.5 runs per game. Now, last night, they had some chances in the seventh and the eighth, but neither worked out.
Driven towards right center field. Peterson on the move. Makes the catch! And keeps Kershaw and the Dodgers in front. He stuck him out.
Kisner and DeJong, the key moments in that game. Kisner gave it a drive, and you had some hope there with the bases loaded, Martin, with Paul DeJong at the plate, one of your best offensive players. Didn't work out.
I know Mike Schilt likes to spin it. He's more optimistic than Baghdad Bob. But I will agree that last night was a pretty good game. I mean, that was a tighter game, clean game. Michaelis pitched pretty well. You didn't get the big hits. It is frustrating watching that offense. But I think on the whole, after what you saw Monday, where you were just embarrassed against a better opponent, it was a better game. It doesn't change the fact you're now 1-4 since the trade deadline. No, 1-5 since the trade deadline. I don't know if that's symbolic or if it means anything. You're also 3-7.
It's the Cingrani era.
Okay, I'm sorry. Excuse me, Brian. Yes. In the Cingrani era.
Who no one knows except Brian.
How about the next Mo press conference? Can we get it up? Where is Brett Cecil today? Yeah. And where is Tony Cingrani? But it was a better game, but the result's the same. You're 0-4 on this trip. You're 1-5 in the Cingrani era. And you're 3-7 in the stretch against better opponents. Now, run differential is something Joe Strauss used to always point to. He always thought that was a legit barometer for how good a team was. And it can get distorted. If you win a couple of games, 13-2, it throws that out of whack. But on the whole, he always believed that that was a great indicator. And maybe it is, because the Dodgers, run differential, the amount they've scored versus the amount they've given up, plus 182. What do you think the Cardinals are?
About even?
Plus 9.
Okay.
182 and 9. I think that's a fair barometer.
You mentioned Mike Schilt. Here is the optimistic one after last night's game.
So tonight, we got beat. Last two games, we just got beat. You know, and we don't like that. We can accept that a little bit more. You know, again, I like to be able to execute a little bit more with runners in scoring position. You know, that's continuing going to be important every day we play. Mm-hmm. And you know, but again, they've got good arms, and you know, Baez made his pitches. To get out of it. Kershaw made his pitches to get out of it. They made a defensive play. Good baseball game and came up short.
All right, lap two. The Cardinals are now 26-34 against teams with winning records. And I suggested last night on Twitter, it's a shame they can't do it the Kansas State way and you just schedule bad teams. Just imagine, you know, if you had an effective AD working out the schedule, you know, the Pirates and the Reds, quite a bit of them. And
who would you open with? I guess the Marlins.
Yeah.
And then homecoming, the Orioles are coming to town.
How about the Royals?
Parents, what about Parents Weekend? The Royals are here.
Yeah. So, not good. And I do think it's kind of interesting that, you know, you brought up 1-5 in the Cingrani era. Some of these guys that were moved at the deadline... Castellanos slugging 720 for the Cubs. He's hit in 5 straight games. And how about Zach Wheeler with 15 scoreless innings now? You know, Martin, a lot of times, and we found this out in 2011, it's not just the raw numbers. It's just that shakeup that kind of changes the feel of the clubhouse. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I think it gives them an indication. First of all, it can shake things. Like if you traded a Bader or an O'Neill in one of these deals, it does sort of shake up the comfort level. But it also can send that message like, hey, we added on. We didn't not only sit complacent, we swung and missed, which is worse than saying we were complacent. They basically said we tried, swung and missed. I really think that the takeaway will always be, if accurate, that Bader and O'Neill couldn't be moved. But yet Tommy Pham could just be dumped. But yeah. You can't move a Bader. That's the part that jumps out. And Zach Wheeler, is he a Cy Young candidate? No. But you're dying right now. Your rotation is absolutely
dying. He's
better
than Michael Wacha.
Correct. And that's all you need to ask.
All right, lap three. Mizzou fans, good news. I texted Barry Odom late last night and just to find out about Kelly Bryant and Albert O. And I expected to hear, well, they're still progressing and we'll see what happens maybe next week sometime. And he said, they're good to go, which kind of shocked me. And they are on the practice field as we speak. So... after we talked to Dr. Rick yesterday, I was a little bit concerned about a lingering hamstring injury, and who knows about Albert O's been injured a lot. So I think Mizzou fans are waiting for something really bad to happen. And
always.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. Except the ruling on your appeal. What's going to happen there? If they don't get the right ruling here, it's going to cost the athletic department $10 million. But they got a shot to win 10 games. They have a $100 million facility that they've just opened that everybody's gushing about. They have 14 starters returning. The top transfer quarterback in the country. Recruiting is off to their best start in his regime. I'm bullish on the Tigers.
I'm very happy to hear they're back. I think Dr. Rick's concerns, while not looking at these specific cases, but the hamstring is something that scares you. So we still got a few weeks to go. So, Kelly Bryant, take it easy. Don't do a whole lot in practice today, but that's a great sign because Mizzou fans, even though the injury, day one, Barry Odom said, this is not major, you kind of had that Cardinal vibe where Molina will be back tomorrow and then he's out for a month. You just had a little bit of a trepidation that the news a day or two later would be worse. Thankfully, it wasn't.
All right, lap four. Random basketball recruiting thoughts. Cameron Fletcher, I don't think we discussed this yet. He was scheduled to make a bunch of visits. And then after his second official visit to Lexington, KY, and John Calipari, it's done. I will be a Wildcat. Some coach told me this last night. He said that he's either going to be a pro or he's going to come home and play for SLU or Mizzou because it's not going to work out. And I could see that. Yeah, I could see both scenarios. He's really good. But, boy, Kentucky, you're surrounded by first-round draft picks. And he still is not an accomplished shooter, but he's getting better, working hard. I think he's going to be a good player. Athletic as heck. And he doesn't have a position. But you know what? Kentucky doesn't have positions. They're like the positionless NCAA Division I basketball team. They just have athletes and skilled players. So we'll find out. I think Mizzou would have been a great spot for him, though, but he fell in love with Lexington. Understandable.
It's hard to turn down programs like that, but you also have to have reality when you walk in there, like you're saying, that you're one of many that are highly touted.
SLU's not done at Vachon. Nicholas Kern Jr., 6'6 junior, is starting to blow up, and they were on him from day one, so we'll find out what happens there. Also, in terms of SLU, keep an eye on Luke Kazupke from Chaminade, the 6'6 shooter. But Kansas State and that staff of recruiters has been relentless, and I hear they are the leader. The other guy, keep an eye on Ryan Kalkbrenner, 7-footer with skill from Trinity, blowing up this summer. Illinois and SLU are in on him hard. So is Mizzou, but he may even go bigger than those three programs. We'll find out. Melville has two. You have to take them both. Dylan Branson and Davian Bradford, the 7-footer. SLU loves their class, though. Talking to some of their people a few days ago. Hargrove, Yori's a gym rat. Gibson Jimerson, one of the best shooters they've ever had. Javon Best said the other day he thinks the JUCO transfer, Javonte Perkins, could be their best player next season. And the two bigs are projects but have great attitudes.
So. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with Yori because he's a four-year player. He's from St. Louis, keeps talking about wanting to represent St. Louis. And basically, Travis has already said, we're giving him the ball. So you're going to get to see this kid from St. Louis, had a great run at St. Mary's. You're going to get to see him from day one, ball in his hands. How many times last year did we say, God, they could use Yuri Collins right now?
Yeah, they could use a legit point guard.
It's going to be fun to see him play. He's got a great personality. And not again, when a freshman joins a program, typically they just kind of sit on the bench. It's going to be fun to see him play from day one.
All right, lap five. So here's a question for everybody. Let me set this up first. Tom Brady, you've heard the news that, and not the contract news, but he and Giselle have put their mansion for sale. It's about 10,000 square feet. The guest house is another 2,400 square feet. So we did some digging, because it's a rather convoluted contract for Brady. But if you look at probably what that contract's going to be worth, his net worth is going to be $233 million now. And that's still less than half of his wife's net worth. Giselle is now worth $488 million. I don't know. Here's the question. Does he have the best life of any person in this world? I mean, I don't think you can compare it to an actor because what he does is for real. Like when Kevin Costner's throwing a perfect game in a movie, it's because actors are paid lots of money to swing and miss at his 68-mile-an-hour fastball. And, you know, there's other enviable people, guys with great minds, but would you really rather be Bill Gates than Tom Brady? And other athletes, let me throw this at you. Tiger's incredible. A lot of scandal, a little bit of baggage, a lot of baggage too. Michael's interesting, Jordan, but he's one of the worst executives in the history of sports. LeBron is worth $450 million and has championships, But there's no peer for Brady in his field. He's the greatest of all time. LeBron will never be the best of all time because of Michael. I think if you factor in net worth, championships, the wife, Tom Brady is the guy you'd most want to be in this world. And he also happens to be kind of a nice guy. His teammates kind of like him.
And the only comparisons typically with athletes would be rock stars. Rock stars want to be athletes.
Good thought.
But I guess if you're a rock star and you're worth millions and people love you, and you get that high of the performance. That's what Tom Brady gets. An actor doesn't get that high,
no
right?
No way.
You walk into a studio, you film your scene, and then maybe you win an Oscar if you're really lucky years later. There is no adulation in the room, whereas an athlete and a rock star gets that.
Who would be the actor?
Or like a rock star, but you're out on the road. Tom Brady eats dinner with his family probably 5-6 nights a week. He's home at night.
Hey, Leonardo DiCaprio, probably worth $150 million, doesn't date anybody under the age or over the age of 25. Dude is the Derek Jeter of actors. Yeah,
you wouldn't rather be him than Brady, would you?
I'd rather be Leo.
I would. Yeah, are you kidding
me?
He gets Giselles every week, dude.
Because he's single.
Giselle may be beautiful, but she's a dime a dozen when it comes to the modeling career.
Yeah, but you're a sports guy. You, who loves to play golf every day and loves to accomplish something physical. What Brady is doing every day is being the best at his sport, and the most popular sport in the world.
I'll take $20 million to do a three-month picture once a year, and then I'm out on the golf course a lot more and with a lot less headaches, a lot less injury issues.
So you'd rather be Leonardo.
Oh, he's the Derek Jeter of acting.
He's just an actor, though.
He's just an athlete.
And also a pseudoscientist. Got to watch tape all the time. I don't really glorify the life of Tom Brady.
But wouldn't it be thrilling to have the money, the wife, the life, and then also be a star athlete?
And doing something physical. I mean, it's like Woody Allen. There was a scene in a Woody Allen movie where he wanted to fool around with his wife, and she said no. And he said, you just want to be with these intellectuals and talk about modes of alienation. Let's do something physical.
Not past your bedtime. That was the issue. If it was Woody Allen.
Oh, I was going to say, this is opening this the door.
This was long before the scandal. This was like Annie Hall or something.
Yeah, and she said, I would, but I...
She's got school tomorrow. So
you don't quite do it for me, Woody. I understand Frank's... I'm slightly disturbed that the younger generation, Frank, would just throw away the athletic achievement portion of this equation.
Would you rather be considered the greatest athlete of all time or the greatest actor of all time? Which Leonardo won't be, although he's very good.
I'd rather be the greatest athlete of all time, but I don't think Tom Brady will ever be the greatest athlete of all time.
He's the greatest football player of all time.
But that's one country, right?
I think you put Usain Bolt, those types, as the best athletes.
What about a Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo?
That's a good one.
Because he's worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. He's
hugely popular. A couple scandals that are under, they were brushed and now he's all clean. I would agree. Not married and has a beautiful house, of course, and he makes
$80 million
a year. Right.
So let's ask it this way. Who would you rather be, Brady or Leonardo?
Brady's a little nutty with some of his views, right? The science. So I'm saying, do I have to take all of that on also?
Yeah, and you get to go home with Giselle.
And Giselle tells me when to go to bed, when to get up. And
what's the matter with that?
Some,
a little bit of structure in your life.
Well,
how's that any different than what you got going now? Kim's
you need to get up in the morning. Go to work.
Yeah.
By the way, the Brady house for sale, it's like $40 million.
Brookline.
And I looked it up. Only has 5 bedrooms. I'm like, for $40 million, I'm going to need a few more bedrooms.
You got a guest house.
CNN had a headline. Brady puts house up for sale. Fueling speculation, he may be done with football. I'm like, he just signed a deal.
Couldn't you buy Festus for $40 million? Couldn't you buy the whole area of Festus for $40 million? Make yourself
just make
a nice compound?
I wouldn't mind that. A little compound.
All right.
$40 million for Tom Brady's house. Brady? I bet somebody there will buy it because they have that kind of money.
Yes.
But also the appeal. Hey, come on over, having a party. This used to be Tom Brady's
Michael
house.
Jordan's house isn't selling, though, in the Chicago area, and it's beautiful. It's been on the market for 3 or 4 years. Price reduction after price reduction. I don't know. Some people, $40 million is a big ask.
Years ago.
Talk about a wife.
Joel Goldberg and I went to the Jordan compound, suburban
it's
Chicago. And the gate is a giant metal gate that says 23. And Joel and I, we were probably in our 20s, and we took a picture standing next to the giant gate.
I did it at Norman's place in Jupiter, too, right in front of it.
Which is unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh. All right, lap 6. Stream of consciousness. Not saying we have a Bonds or Griffey thing happening in MLB, But it does seem like the sons of players are just thriving big time. Young Bichette just set an MLB record for 10 extra base hits in the first 9 games. How about that? Fernando Tatis Jr. now has 20 homers. Kevin Biggio getting on base 34% of the time. He's just a youngster. Vlad Guerrero Jr., we know about his potential. Doesn't it seem like right now it's about sons of stars that are really thriving?
Makes you feel a little bit older.
Yeah.
But also, how did Toronto corner the market? They've got Bichette's kid, they've got Vlad Jr. and Biggio's kid.
How difficult is that, though? Just draft the...
Right. How smart is the guy in charge? Who's this next guy on the board? Biggio? That's good. Yeah, he's probably good. And this Guerrero kid, he's probably good. And if you watch MLB Network, they talk about those kids, the Toronto players, like all day, every day. It's crazy. And Tatis Jr., there's some rumor out there that Tatis wanted the Cardinals to go after his kid, and they passed. I'd have to look it up and see what the math was.
Wouldn't that
there.
Be a great story if you missed a playoff 4 straight years? I'm looking at Greg Norman's home.
Where would we play him, Tatis Jr.? Where would we play him?
Yeah, he's not on the 40, man. That's the problem.
All right, let's take a short time out. When we come back, we're going to be joined by one of the greats in Mizzou basketball history, Derek Chivas.